everybody. 2022.
We're a little late hopping on. Been super busy, which is awesome. But we are back in podcasting mode.
Podcast forever.
Yeah. Love it.
Good to be with everybody. This is Motivate You, brought to you by Motivate Advisors. Great to be with each and every one of you. Thank you for so much for taking time out of your day to listen to us.
Yes.
Discuss all the different things that can happen in business. Good, bad, the ugly. Try to find different ways to help prepare you for what's happening.
I feel like it's been a little bit. We should like reintroduce ourselves.
I feel like we didn't.
Hey guys, I'm Cassie, president of Motivate.
I feel like we didn't do a great job maybe preparing ourselves. It's been crazy.
It has been.
And we've been very busy. Lots of life situations have come up.
Yeah.
Business has been busy.
For sure.
New freaking variants coming out of nowhere.
Yeah, crazy stuff going on in the world, which obviously everyone who's listening to is very well aware of, that being that you're a financial advisor. So
our pets' heads are falling off.
Hopefully everyone has been maintaining awesome communication with their clients amidst all of this craziness.
Yeah, it is. It is crazy. But you know what? Sometimes crazy is good. That creates opportunity, creates times to restructure what you're looking to do, to see maybe there could be some issues that you need to address. So it's been good. How are you?
I'm doing really good.
Yeah.
Does
it feel good to say that?
It does.
I actually believed it.
I know. Yeah. It's, you know, life happens to everyone. So we are back on the horse and ready to rock and roll.
I love it. I love it. And so today, this is episode one. It only took till April Fool's Day to get to this point, but
April Fool's, we've actually been doing a podcast every single day. You guys just didn't get it.
April Fool's, we're not doing this one. We're gone. We'll talk to you guys later. Take care. No, I'm just kidding. We're not going to actually do that. That would have been stupid.
Oh yeah. That would have been annoying.
So I want to talk about five things that I think are very important, because when we look at businesses, I've been really studying things, you know, when you get done with Christmas break and you go into the new year, you're always at reanalyzing everything that's going on.
You should be, at least. Hopefully you are.
That's a good point. So, you know, I think what I'm seeing is people are specializing in one, maybe two different concepts. Maybe I call it kind of mastery. We want to master everything instead of the full five that I think are important. Now, we've spoken about the four C's.
Of course. Yeah. I think we did quite a few shows on the four C's. You know,
catalyst, cultivation, consistency, and close. Yep. And basically what you're kind of doing within your business as far as process-driven strategies. But I think it goes bigger than that. And I kind of want to take a step back a little bit, especially, you know, being that this is our first episode for the year, kind of going into the five masters, you know, the things that people need to really master to kind of get their business to the next level. Mm-hmm. And whenever you look at people and you sit back, man, I want to have a business like them, more than likely they've mastered these five masters. They've looked at them and they thought, man, you know, this is the thing I need to work on. They worked on over time, and over time they built a business rather than just trying to do the immediate sale.
Yeah.
They built something special.
Well, and it's interesting when you say the five masters, because
five masters.
You do need to master all of these, but I think it's a basic of foundations for any business.
Sure.
So while you have to master this skill, these are the five basic things you need to have running smoothly to have a strong practice and I don't care if you're a financial advisor or not, they can reach across the board, but these are the five areas that have to be working efficiently for a successful business.
Yep. Especially this one. And this one is a very particular business. The great news for this business, though, being in the financial services world, is there's a tremendous amount of margin that can come from these type of scenarios and a tremendous amount of help that you can provide for people. So, you know, the real secret sauce comes down to several different things. The secret sauce is usually not just one ingredient. Mm-hmm. Several things go into the secret sauce. So contrary to the popular belief that there's a silver bullet approach to making your business deal, where it's just kind of a one and done deal, I kind of look at it more from a secret sauce standpoint, because there's going to be ingredients that go into it, not just one technique. Would you say?
No, that would be boring. And we're not even necessarily talking about different facets of your business or products that you're selling. This really has nothing to do with just being an annuity person or just being a life insurance person. This is, what's the womp womp for?
I just missed pushing buttons.
That was rude.
Sorry, keep going. It was.
You know, when you do that, I lose my train of thought.
Not just the annuity.
And then totally off. Not just the investment side. We're not talking that about the services you are. It's what you're providing in your business and what you're doing from soup to nuts. from marketing, prospecting, how are you closing? What's your appointment process? What's your cultivation strategy? How are you servicing your clients?
Yeah, my buddy
Dave.
And
we'll go in depth, but that's kind of what we're talking about today.
Yeah, my buddy Dave calls it the V1 and the V2. And it's really the V1 would be, what do you do? What value do you actually bring to people? And then the V2 would be, how do you deliver that value?
Yeah, right? So exactly.
It's not just what you do, it's how you do it.
Right.
Ooh, we should probably write that down.
I think someone has said that before.
Me.
There was like Nietzsche.
Just now, we all heard it. It's on digital tape. There's no tape anymore.
Tape? You just aged yourself big time.
I found an old cassette tape the other day. It was awesome. So if I had to find a pencil so I could get it to work. Anyway, five strategies that you must master. And keep in mind, if you're doing one of these things, more than likely, you're probably pretty darn good at it, but you feel stuck, right? You feel kind of like you're stuck in the quicksand, or you don't feel like you're getting to where you want to go. And you're like, I'm really damn good at this. And I'm doing a really good job. And the people that I do meet with, they really love what I do, but I'm never really growing.
Something holding you down or holding you back.
Could be four things.
Of course.
Right. I mean, if you're one of those advisors out there right now that have had the same type of business for 3, 4, 5 years, and you've switched organizations and you've seen the silver bullet from all these different organizations, but every time you go there, nothing really changes as far as production, there may be an issue with the five masters.
Yeah, there's definitely something else going on that isn't working efficiently. And if you're in front of people and you know it's not your marketing, this is where we have to discover what is that other piece that's missing or is not working how it should.
Number one is going to be very important. And it's one probably that I think the industry as a whole focuses on solely. Mm-hmm. It's one of the only things that they focus on. However, it has definitely changed, and it's the term marketing.
Right.
You know, marketing is very interesting right now because when you look at all these different organizations across the board, many of them are trying to get away from some of the different types of marketing. They come in three or four different strategies, but really we talk about it within the catalyst, marketing that's immediate, trying to get people in immediately in nature with, you know, and then we look at the cultivation strategy, which is really, really important. But I think one of the most important missed opportunities would be the third one, which is consistency.
Yeah. Well, you have to have the consistency. And we've talked about this before. I always feel like a parrot when we talk about the roller coaster. So many advisors, you know, they have a really good marketing event. I don't care what it is. It's really successful. You have a bunch of appointments, you're closing business. And then all of a sudden you stop. And 2 months later, you look at your calendar, you have no appointments set, no leads are coming in, and your bank account is reflecting that. So what do? You hammer a bunch of money into some type of marketing again, and you go back up on that roller coaster. So what the consistency does is it levels that bad boy out. Mm-hmm. And that's what we want to make sure advisors are doing. It makes life easier, so much more predictable in a fashion of what you can anticipate going on.
Yeah. I mean, I don't care what kind of business that you have. I really, if you have growth goals and you're looking for find ways to increase your revenue streams, then, you know, the mechanism to make that happen is going to be marketing.
Mm-hmm. You know, consistently.
You need to make sure that you're looking at these things. So, but keep in mind, your marketing is going to be different than other companies.
Of course.
So when you look at companies like Apple, who has some of the best brand recognition in the planet, their marketing budget may only be 10%. If you're looking to try to make that magical million and you're not spending more than what Apple's spending, more than likely, it's going to be a tough time, right? You're probably going to have a difficult time getting to that point where you want to go. You know, when you look at companies like Google spends 12% of the revenue. Salesforce spends 46% of the revenue. Microsoft spends 16% of the revenue. Oracle, 22% of the revenue.
So, and these are all huge name companies that everybody recognizes.
And they don't just do it one day a month.
Yeah, that's every single year they're spending that percentage of, you know, their revenue on marketing.
Yep. And with a 16% in, you know, revenue cost for Microsoft, that's a 14% revenue growth that they're going to expect to see. So, you know, they're putting that money in to constantly keep that name out there, constantly bringing new things out. Many advisors are marketing for one day a month, maybe 2 days a month if they're doing two different live seminar events.
Right.
There's so much more to it than just that one type of strategy. But it's got to be consistent.
Yeah.
You've got to keep going with it consistently because that is one of the best practices that you can implement. I would say number one.
I think we need to change secret sauce number one to not just marketing, but consistent marketing. They have to go hand in hand together. Yes, you can do marketing. And again, if you're doing it once every so often, you're going to close some business. And Mike mentioned our margins in this business are huge, but wouldn't it be nice to have those margins coming in on a regular basis?
I like that. The five secret sauces. Number one is consistent marketing.
Consistent marketing.
It's pretty damn good, Cass. I kind of like what I like what you did there.
I'm here for a reason.
Solid, solid. It's essential though, right? I mean, because if you stop marketing,
you're done.
Your leads are going to stop.
Of course.
Right. You're going to dry up. It's going to be a situation where, and it's not just something that happens over time. It's pretty dang fast, especially if you don't have a database whatsoever.
Right. And I don't have a filter. I'm always very nice and professional, but I said someone to the other day, I said, I said something to someone the other day. And I said, you can open a business and you can open your door, but that does not mean anyone's walking in.
That's absolute fact.
You know, you have to do something to get those people to walk in your door.
In the same respect, if you are marketing and you are doing things that are designed to get people through that door, but they're not coming in, it's probably a good time to change that stuff up and look for some different opportunities.
Yeah.
The tough part is, are you going to actually implement it? That's where a lot of it comes into play, right? I mean, are you going to actually implement that deal? So marketing, and I love what Cassie said, consistent marketing, write that down, bold it out, underline it, do it in all caps. I don't care how you do it.
Italicize it.
Whatever you want. It can be Italian or not. That was a joke.
So I need to have the speaker. So I go, womp, womp.
Yeah, that was pretty bad. I deserve that.
Thank you. Thank you.
I deserve that. So then we're going to get them. If we market to them, one other way we want to do is we want to drive them to events. Now, one thing that's big in this industry would be the seminar world, right?
Sure. And seminars, workshops, what have you.
Focus groups, whatever you're looking for.
Anything live, educational events, college courses. I think when we, say seminar, it has a stigma of you have to be doing it at a restaurant. While that still works, we have advisors doing great success with it. Stop, I caught myself. Thank you. Mm-hmm. It's a live event that you are engaging with a good number of people all at once and communicating with them. You even webinars. That was like 20 minutes ago.
It was not that long ago. It was pretty awesome. There's usually one every single podcast.
Without fail.
Yeah. So we have, anyways. I think when you look at these seminar events, the biggest, beef that people have with them would be the cost that's associated with it. Maybe some of the saturation that's happened with it.
Yeah. But your quote unquote, I don't call them this, but plate lickers.
Yep. That's a fair.
If someone uses that said terminology.
I actually had a guy that one time gave me a fake name, thinking that we wouldn't know that he was coming again.
Repeat offender.
Oh yeah. Yeah. He came in, gave us a fake name. And I'm like, you're still wearing the same shirt from yesterday at Carrabba's that has a stain from the pasta sauce on it. Too.
And he looked down and wiped his shirt.
Yeah. That wasn't me. I borrowed this from my brother. But the thing with the seminar and the events is it's going to be a situation to where it provides one of my favorite words in the entire world, which is leverage. Mm-hmm. You're able to leverage your time. You're able to leverage, the facility, the whole deal to be able to really see 30, 40 people in 1 hour, 1.5 hours to kind of really show them what you do. And, not everyone's going to be the right fit, but really, if you look at the consistency that you spoke about, it doesn't take much to make that thing happen.
No. And we might be going into number two or three or four. I always jump the gun. But you kind of mentioned people focus on those 30 to 40 people that showed up. And what we really, really hammer our advisors to pay attention to is how many prospects and leads you have now in front of you. So those individuals that did not show up, there's opportunity there.
That's actually number five.
Oh, I thought I was jumping ahead. You skipped the hell out of it. Well, now that's kind of cultivating.
That's what I'm saying. That's number five, client.
Clients. I'm talking more prospects.
I mean, same idea. Cultivation is cultivation. Prospects, clients, whatever it is. We know, Cass, that when you look at an event, it's the rule of 33, right?
Exactly.
33% of the people are there to book an appointment. Yep. So there's really not much you can do to screw up that.
Unless
those people,
you flub it big time.
Yeah. I mean, they're looking for help.
Sure.
Right. So 33% of the people that show up are more than likely ready to at least meet with you and have a conversation. 33% of the people on average, they're there to eat the food. Okay. More than likely, you're not going to convert them. More than likely, if you book 100% of the room, they're the ones that are going to have attrition that don't show up at your office. Okay. Right. So just so you're kind of getting an idea. But then there's the 30% that 33% that is skeptical.
Yep.
Right. The skeptics.
They need a little something more.
Yeah. And so, you know, now with that said, there's also another ratio of people who just are unable to make it, mm-hmm. right? There's always a 20 to 30% attrition of people who can't make it to the event. That doesn't mean they weren't one of those good ones.
No. And that they weren't interested and that they don't need your help.
But you're never going to know if you don't market to them.
Right.
If you don't follow up with them, you're never going to know where they fit and where they don't fit.
Yeah.
Right?
And having a system and a process on how to do so. And also making sure you're working with the marketing initiative that you have access to those as well.
Absolutely. So, you know, that's where we talk about the marketing is going to be most important. You move into, I think these are all very important.
They're all important. It's definitely not a 1 through 5 importance.
No, but marketing, you've got your seminar and events of everything. From there though, the hope is that you get them to come sit down and see what you've got.
Of course.
Okay. Your job at that point to master is your process. Mm-hmm. It's to master your front stage. It's to master your backstage. It's to show these clients something that with all respect, they haven't seen before. That's going to differentiate you from every other financial advisor that more than likely they've met with, because we know it's not uncommon for a client to have seen 4, 5, 6 different financial advisors throughout their life. And now they're in your office. So what are you going to do differently?
Yeah. And they're interviewing a few different financial advisors all at the same time. So we talk about what is that unique client experience that you're providing for them? How are you separating yourself from the Edward Jones? Nothing wrong with Edward Jones guys, but they have
dropping names.
No, but they have a big name behind them.
Sure.
You know, so if you don't have that big name, how are you proving yourself? How are you differentiating yourself? And you need to do that with the client experience. And I always like to caveat. So even when we do our trainings and our playbooks, we break down our process for 3 different types of advisors. Mm-hmm. So we have a process for advisors that have an office and have a team. There's a specific process that can go that way. We have a process for the solo entrepreneur that maybe they have an assistant, maybe they're doing it on their own. They're still following a very specific process. And then the third one is, are they doing it virtually? So it doesn't matter how you're meeting clients, you absolutely can provide a unique client experience mm-hmm. and showcase yourself differently than a lot of other advisors out there.
One of the best examples I always use is the Starbucks model. You know, down here in Florida, tons of Wawas. Now we have tons of 7-Elevens. Great place to go get up in the morning, go get yourself a coffee. Mm-hmm. Starbucks is the same thing. Dunkin' Donuts is the same thing. So on the surface, you look at it and say, it's coffee.
Right.
And if you actually give me a blind taste test, I'd be willing to bet I'm going to be a bigger fan of 7-Eleven than any of the other 3.
Dunkin' Donuts is pretty good coffee.
You're wrong, but that's okay. No, Dunkin's pretty good. So, but what people like about the Starbucks is the experience.
Of course.
Right. It tends to feel more welcoming. Maybe the bathroom is cleaner. Mm-hmm. They have food there.
It's a little more bougie.
Bougie is your word today. but yeah, it's the experience.
Of
you
course.
Can buy books there. You can get music there. They have different ways of saying large versus small. I mean, it's the whole experience. Mm-hmm. And for what it's worth, people are willing to spend 400 to 500% more.
Yes.
For the experience for coffee, they may not even like as much.
Right.
Yeah, because of the way it makes them feel.
It's not the flavor. It's not the caramel that they mix inside.
They don't even do caramel on a sugar-free basis anymore. It's stupid. Get rid of almost all their sugar-free.
I
try to keep things off the hips. You know
what I mean?
I
don't do any of that.
I'm trying to keep the things off.
But no, the point is that everyone is paying that much more money for the experience. And that's what you guys need to be delivering within your practice.
Right. And I'm not saying you need to charge 400 or 500%
no,
more.
Goodness,
but
no.
Showing them something different, because what people want to be around is they want to be around people that are winning. People want to be around winners, especially if that winner is someone that's going to be taking care of their funds that took them 20, 30, 40 years to earn. Mm-hmm. They want to be around someone that's got to figure it out. That looks like it's not their first rodeo. Yeah. It's not their first day in the job. And that provides a certain level of credibility and confidence for the client mm-hmm. to feel right about you.
Yeah.
You know, but if it's a situation where everything looks the same, feels the same, sounds the same, smells the same, whatever it's going to be, it not going to trigger that vibe for them to right. say, I feel better about this. This
the same
is
the same as everyone
this
else.
The same thing I've been disappointed with over all these years.
Yeah.
You've got to show them something differently. So the appointment process is absolutely crucial, and it's not just you. That's the dirty little secret. Mm-hmm. It's not just you, advisor. It's not just you, it's your team. It's everything that goes into it, front stage as well as backstage, yeah, which I don't think most people understand the difference and why that's such an important.
When we talk about front stage and backstage, you guys have to imagine a concert. So you have your superstar, your musician, they're on stage, they're dancing, and everyone's focus is there. But if you actually look behind them, they have an amazing band. They're having an awesome light mm-hmm. show. The set is moving around. The stage is moving around. And that is your front stage, is what are they seeing? What is that show, quote unquote, that you're putting on? But without an awesome backstage, without the guys who are doing the, you know, the grips and the key and the sound checks and everything else, you're missing the functionality, the second half of it that is so important and what makes you shine. So when we talk about front stage and backstage, those are the two things that you need to be looking at as part of your client experience.
Absolutely. And really, with all respect, when I get compliments about my company, it's never really about me. It's about Nancy. It's about Barb. It's about the way that these team members of mine have made everyone feel when they've walked in. It's about the type of service and the type of care that goes into it from my team. And that, folks, is where the referral world comes into play.
Yeah.
So if you can do things that are different, if you can show them something that's not the same and ordinary, and do it with a caring, loving attitude and strategy to go help these people as if they're your own family, that is where I think the referral world comes from, is from the absolutely amazing customer service. Because let's be honest, when's the last time you had an absolutely fantastic customer service experience since pre-COVID? I mean, really, when's the last time like someone just absolutely blew you away?
So randomly,
yeah,
when I was in Nicaragua. When we
that's pre-COVID.
Oh, pre-COVID. That was like 2 months before.
What was the experience?
So it's a surf and yoga retreat. We stayed essentially like
surfing and yogurt,
surf and yoga.
Oh,
so, but we were in Nicaragua and we stayed in these awesome, almost just cabanas. There was no power really. There was cold showers, your showers outside, but we had this team around us that was amazing. So we had two surf instructors, a yoga instructor, one guy who just made sure we have everything. And they were so nice and so warm and so welcoming, but we're on top of everything that we needed at any part of the day. It made it, you know, they made it amazing just as much as being in Nicaragua and surfing.
And I've heard her talk about this trip over and over and over for years, which is awesome because that's free press, right? Now on the flip side, I'm redoing some remodeling of my home.
Yeah.
And I'm at the point now where I'm just happy if people show up.
I know.
Oh, right. Like if they say, I'm going to be there tomorrow at 8:00, if they're there at 8:30, I'm like, hell yeah. They are only 30 minutes late today. We're interviewing people for our Motivate, and we've had out of the last 3 days, we've had six or seven no-shows. It's like me back in when I was dating in college. No shows. We had two people show up, six or seven no shows. Yeah. I mean, it's absolutely insane. It's so different now. But I'm telling you, if you can create the process, and I'll teach you the process if you want to learn it, but you can create this process that's so specific and special that the world's your playground.
And people talk about it. And you said it's the, you know, that referral. And of course it's the process of how are you getting in before? How are you communicating with them? You know, and especially during your appointment, how are you having yourself stand out instead of just saying, okay, tell me about yourself. Okay. Now show me your money. What are you doing to really get to know that person on an individual level? What are their goals? What are their fears? What do they really want out of you? And take the time to ask the questions and let them answer. You know, don't try and push them towards an answer that you want. Get what they're looking for. And then it's your job to create that plan around what they want specifically. So be quiet for a moment and listen.
I was trying to say it really nice. Yeah, you almost said shut up.
Quiet and listen to your
shut
clients.
Up and listen is what she basically wanted to say.
That was nice. You said it.
But it's true. I mean, when you're asking the question, so look at this way to Cassie's point, because she's absolutely dead on. When you ask a question and you shut up, you're allowing the client to explain to you exactly within a blueprint what you need to do to truly help them
and close them
and what will actually make them feel more comfortable. It's basically like a doctor doing lab results. The doctor is saying, hey, what's going on and what's not. And once you have that in front of you, then you can move on to the final thing that we need to discuss, which would be the case design and how to make these people part of your family. I don't love the word closing. It makes it feel salesy to me, but how to make them part of your family, how to design the case that best suits that family, because it doesn't need to be cookie cutter, right? It should be something that's really spectacular and really something that's really special and you know, in particular to that family themselves, right? And I think that's a really important part. And then you welcome to your family. So, you know, having the ability to look at that. Now, to go back to what Cassie said right in the beginning of the show, the importance of not being a one-trick pony within this is absolutely vital, because your clients are now looking for something holistic in nature. The risk has shifted from that of the employer to the employee. Your clients are leaving work with a tremendous amount of responsibility. And you as the advisor have to be the professional to be able to show them the different ways that you can design things to better them short and long-term.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, they're not uneducated either. Clients have resources at their fingertips, just like we do. So they are looking things up. They are gathering their own information, you know, so if they know something, have a conversation with them about it.
Yep.
If it's not something that you feel is right for them, voice your opinion. Don't tell them that they're wrong, but maybe provide another suggestion or ask them why they feel this way, or, you know, what information within there made them feel better. And then you can, you know, steer them in the right direction or say, you're absolutely right. I agree with you. Let's make it part of your plan.
Yeah. So the great thing right now is we have all this stuff built out. We have these processes, these systems, everything done, all the way to the scripting, all the way to how to make the cookies in the morning, how to turn on the computer. We've got this thing so incredibly playbooked out, it would blow your mind. I realize that there's just a really big gap. Mm-hmm. A lot of the organizations out there that we are quote unquote competing with for your particular business, Mr. and Mrs. Advisor, is, you know, their programs just to talk to people from a seminar standpoint. Mm-hmm. But there's so much more that goes into it. If you can't close a door, if you don't have an appointment process, if you don't have a case design strategy, if you don't know how to make these people part of your family, then spending all this money and all this time and all the consistency and the marketing is all for naught.
Right.
So if you're looking for some help with that, I think, you know, probably a great idea to set up a time just to have a conversation with myself, Cassie, and we can tell you a little bit about what we do here from people.
Yeah, of course. And, you know, we'll have all our contact info, but you guys can reach me easy enough, 772-247-4488. Check us up on the website, Motivate.
Check it out.
Advisors.com.
I love it. Anything
so
else?
So what did we go through? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Let's recap. Number one is consistent marketing.
No, let's just see if you can actually remember this. Pop quiz.
Yeah. Number one, consistent marketing.
Nailed it.
Number two, events, having a process, workshop, what seminar, whatever you're doing.
Like it.
Number three is having an awesome front stage and backstage process.
That is number three on the original. Yep.
All right.
Number you switched four. A little bit because you moved number five to number three last time, but that's okay. You're still going.
Oh, that's okay. Having a good close. Running your cheating? Process. Absolutely not. I have my camera in front of me.
I was just looking
and
to see.
Number five, just because I'm awesome and I know these things. And that's why I want to help you guys is cultivation.
I'm awesome. I'm confident. I'm amazing. And I'll help
I've
you
been
climb.
Hanging out with you too much.
Wow.
It's rubbing off.
Yeah, then that is probably why you're great. All right, everybody. Reach out to us. We'd love to talk to you, kind of show you a little bit about what we do here as the Motivate family.
Yeah. Thanks but for I coming back with us.
Great to have everyone back. Thanks for listening. If you as always too. If you have questions, concerns, comments, shoot us an email, shoot us a phone call,
yeah, write give something us a on our comment Facebook on page, something.
LinkedIn, heck link yeah. in with me. Let's become friends.
Let's hear about it.
You can always have, and you never have enough friends. And always add more people you care about.
Especially on social media. Then you can ignore them if you don't really
you
like them.
5 years to be my friend on LinkedIn.
Well, hey, you know.
That's it. That's all you got.
Awesome. Thanks,
well,
guys.
Well, hey, you know, is all you got. All right.
We will talk to you next
Take
week.
Take care, everybody.
Have
this
a good
is Motivate
one.
You. Have a great week. We'll talk to you soon.